Thank you very, very much for coming out. I'm most appreciated. And this is the community of our children. Our children live here, Dina and Mark and their children. I feel very much at home here in Teaneck. I see a good friend of mine, Isha Aaron, who brings back memories, great, great memories when we played ball together at RJJ. We majored in basketball. That's what we did day and night. And I don't know if you know this, but he's a great, great ball player. And above that, he's just a wonderful, wonderful man. A wonderful man. And I wanted to thank Rav Natty, Rizzer Natty, just for putting this together. And I see our Rosh HaYeshiva is here, the unparalleled Rav Dov Linzer. Whenever you have a chance to hear Rav Dov, you should really, really take advantage of that opportunity. And Dr. Michelle Belfer Friedman was here, and Marie Sussler. And take a look at that little chart outside with all the listings of Chovevei placements. There are now, thank God, 75 Rabbanim all over the country. I've never been involved in anything more important. In about 30 shuls on 15 campuses, 20 schools, including leadership of schools, and camping. It's really a dream come true. I see that Kobe's here, one of our students, and he's going to go on to change the world. So I want to say a few words about this morning's Yom Yom. A young man in our community, I'll leave his name out for the moment, very, very young, is struggling with a terrible, terrible disease. And he keeps looking into my eyes and he keeps saying over and over, all I want to do is live. All I'm asking God is that I be able to live. Raise my children. He has two little children. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. I'd like to talk about the Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, as an expression of what I believe to be the greatest mandate in the Torah. And that is the mandate of Ubacharta Bachayim. Choose life. Ubacharta Bachayim. Most people, when they look at the Akedah, believe that what the Akedah is about is blind faith. It's submission on the part of Abraham without question to the will of God. What Kierkegaard, the Christian theologian, called the theological suspension of the ethical. In fact, this is very, very much a part of mainstream Jewish thinking. In the keynote this morning that we davened together, that we said together, there was a kina that dealt with the Akedat Yitzchak in which we said these words, B'mitzvatcha Shnehem Nizharim. The Shnehem referring to Abraham and Yitzchak. They were both very careful concerning your commandments, O God, referring to the Akedat Yitzchak. Va'acharecha lo mahar harim. And they went forward without question, without any hirhur, without any hesitation. Chashu ma'od nimharim. They moved with great haste. Al achad haharim. As they went up to the top mountains, to one of the mountains, Tahar Hamoriah. And that's the theme of the Kina, which we read this morning. And that certainly is a mainstream approach. God commands, Abraham may have responsibilities to his family, but God is in the center, God comes first. What I'd like to show is that there is an alternative path. And that is, God commands Abraham. And there was no greater a believer than Abraham. But Abraham, as he walks with Yitzhak to Har HaMoriah, is absolutely struggling. He's struggling. He's struggling within himself. And he's struggling with God. And that struggle doesn't lessen his faith, but in the end, it takes him to an even higher plane of faith and higher understanding of God's will, that our Torah is Drachei HaDarchin Noam, the whole Netivotei HaShalom, that the way of the Torah is a way of pleasantness, and all of its paths are paths of peace. When you look at the narrative of the Haggadah, there's virtually no verbiage coming between Abraham and Yitzhak. What really jumps out of the page is silence. They're walking quietly. It's like we have a task. If you've ever been in this situation, you have the task, you have a goal, you don't have to talk. You know what it's all about. I'm told by our great Chayalim in Eretz Yisrael that sometimes when they're on the mission, there's little talk. They know what the mission is at hand. They know what they must do. Silence. But when you look into the narrative, into Perek Chavet, there are some words that they say to each other. In fact, the only time that Abraham and Yitzhak talk to each other as recorded in the Torah is in this chapter. And the first time, and all firsts in the Torah are very critical. If you want to understand the meaning of a word, look at the way the word appears the first time. If you want to understand the meaning of a concept, look at the concept as it appears the first time. The first dialogue, the first words between the two are very critical. And this is what the Torah says. They're on the way to Moriah. Vayomer Yitzchak el Abraham Aviv. Vayomer. Very strange. First, there's a double Vayomer. Every word in the Torah counts. It's as if the Torah is telling the reader, God is saying, listen to what Yitzchak is going to say. The fact that it said, and he said, and he said twice, means that this is going to be a tremendous reprayim. This is going to be an unbelievable ksos. This is going to be the highest level of Torah. More than that, in that preamble that says, Vayomer Yitzchak el Abraham Aviv, as if we didn't know that Abraham was his father. And what does he say? What does he say? Vayomer Yitzchak el Abraham Aviv. Vayomer. One word. One word. He says, Avi, my father. Every time I read it, in recent years, it reminds me, I was once taking our daughter, Dina, who's sitting in the back of the room, to SAR when she was a very, very little girl. And being a rabbi, thinking that I'm important, and believe me, I'm not, with 100 different things on my mind, I'm driving. And thank God I don't drive now that much. But then I drove, and it wasn't too healthy, not only for me, but for others. I drove yeshiva style, and literally there should be halacha book written on how to drive. And since it's safek nefashot lahachmir, we should really, at chata'ayam maskir hayom. My mind is on 100 different things, and Dina is talking to me, and suddenly I heard her distinctly say, Rabbi. I pull the car over. I say, Bima, I'm your rabbi. I'm your father. Why'd you call me rabbi? She says, she's a little girl. She says, I never forget it. She said, Abba. I've been saying Abba, Abba, Abba. I get your attention. I said, Rabbi, I got your attention.
My kids do that to me.
Okay. Dina, they call you rabbi? Artist? That's what's happening. Vayomer Yitzchak el Abraham Aviv Vayomer Afi, Tata, Abala. If I can look at this as an elliptical course, Abala, what are you doing? And the response of Avraham, beautiful response. We should all be blessed with such responses to our children. Hineni b'ni. Here I am, my son. The same Abraham who had said Hineni to the command of God, same language, same word. Hineni b'ni. Here I am, my son. There's something deeper that's happening here. And I would contend that the Midrash Tanhuma, picks up on this, and I'll just read a snip of the Tanhuma. I've fallen in love with the Tanhuma because our son, though, just finished his chancellor, not to gloat, his PhD in the Divinity School of the University of Chicago in the Tanhuma. So this is what the Tanhuma says on the Akedat Yitzchak. It says, Vayakam Vayelech. It's literally Vayakam Vayelech. It's on the Rashi table that he rose and went, as if he went without question. And the Tanhuma, what the Tanhuma says is that something was happening in between these verbs. A tremendous amount of verbs in the Akedah. Kidmo echad baderech v'nidbe lo b'dmut zaken. Someone accosted Avraham and appeared to him in the guise of an old man. As he's walking, he's accosted by an old man. And the Midrash goes on that the old man, because it said he had been Melo, but Mitzakhen, but he's accosting Avraham, and this is what he says to Avraham. Amar lo, the old man, the older man says to Avraham, Zaken. Very, very complicated language. Because Abraham is, according to this, meets the Zaken, meets the older person. I don't like the language old. Abba always says there's a difference between being older and old. It's okay to get older. We should try not to act old. Older is fine. So he meets an older person. And the older person then, in speaking to Abraham, calls Abraham, the same appellative title, calls him Zaken. Because who was this Zaken? Who was it? Who was it? It was himself. He's walking. He's accosted by a Zaken, by an older person. And the older person says to Abraham, Zaken, it's his inner conscience. His inner conscience. And Baruch Shekivanti, so says my Rebbe in Chumash, Nechama Leibovitz of blessed memory, this Zaken was Abraham's inner conscience. Amalo Zaken. Lo sham hayiti kisha amala kata v'shbaruch l'kata v'nita. Wasn't I there when the Holy One, blessed be He, told you to sacrifice, to take your son? V'zaken kamocha yiled v'yobad v'yaved ben shenitam lo l'mea shana. And you, an older person, you could be his grandfather, but you're his father, so you should have the love not only of a father, but of a grandfather. Different loves, but they're meshing and all come together. Are you, as a tata, as an abba, ready to sacrifice your son? What this midrash really is indicating is that Abraham, according to the Tanhuma, was struggling as a father. Is this the right thing? Is this the right thing to do? And I believe the Midrash takes it from that little exchange, from the exchange of Vayomer Yitzchak el Avraham Aviv, Vayomer Avi, and he responds, Hineni b'ni. So many may think that he ran to Moriah without any question, but he was struggling. He was struggling as an Abba. Now the Midrash says that Avram responds, Amar lo al minat ken. Just for this, despite the fact that I'm a father, I'm ready to do this. But he was struggling. He really, really was flinching. Then the pasuk goes on, and the pasuk says, "Vayomer Yitzchak." Then says, "Hinei ha'esh va'etzim, the Ayei Haseh Le'olav, which one could see perhaps as Yitzhak's way of challenging Avraham's ethics. You, the Avraham, who when told that stone was going to be destroyed, you said to God, HaShofet Kal HaAretz Lo Yaseh Mishpat, is this the right thing? Is this the correct thing? You challenged God. Well, Yitzhak says to Avraham, not only from a fatherly perspective, but from an ethical perspective, from a Torah ethical perspective, from a Drachei Adarchei Noam perspective, is this the proper thing? Where is the Sela Ola? Is it human sacrifice? Is this what this is all about? Says the Midrash, Amalo. Amalo, the Zaken. This is Avram's inner conscience. I'm switching back to the Tanhuma. Lemacha yomalecha shofech damata. Tomorrow God is going to tell you, you are a spiller of blood. God will condemn you for murder. Shofech dam ata. You have spilt his blood. Amalo, Avram responds, Amanatken. He nonetheless moves forward. So whereas most look at the Akedah as Avraham hearing the command to jump and asking how high, this midrash, I believe taken from the narrative that we discussed, has Avraham complying, Almanat Ken. But it is an Avraham who is struggling. It is an Avraham who is inwardly challenging. He's challenging himself. Is this what God wants me to do as a father? Is this what God wants me to do as the father of ethical monotheism? That's scene one. Scene two. Scene two, they arrive at Moriah. And he's got his hand on the knife. And he's about ready to take the knife to Yitzhak. He's about ready to do this. Just anecdotally, tangentially, I must tell you that I now read this not as a father, but I use this as a grandfather. This is very tangential to what we're talking about. I see it now very simplistically, like there are two scenes. There's this scene of Avraham with the knife on Yitzhak's neck, and then there's the angel. And as a grandfather, whenever you read a narrative, even though you know the outcome, you should read it as if you don't know the outcome. Then it gets very exciting. When you read it that way, you wonder, will the angel get there on time? Will the angel get there on time? But the great Abraham Joshua Heschel says, just remember, angels always stay there. People, that's another story. That's worth the price of admission. Angels get there on time. People not necessarily. That was just tangential. Back to what we're talking about. Suddenly the angel appears and he says, Vayomer lo malach Elokim, al tishlach yadcha el ha'na'ar, v'al tas lo me'uma. And Abraham must have been just dumbfounded. And in fact, Rashi quotes the Midrash where Avraham looks up and says to God, I don't understand. First you tell me, Ki v'yitzchak yikarei l'chazar. First you tell me that covenantally, the next spiritual heir, the covenantal heir, is going to be Yitzchak. It's not going to be Yishmael. That's a profound covenantal statement. Then you tell me, v'ha'alehu sham la'ola. You then tell me to sacrifice Yitzchak. V'alehu sham la'ola. Now you tell me, stop. Which is it? Says the Midrash. Ama lo ha'kadosh baruch hu. And whenever you find an appellative title of God being the Holy One, blessed be He. God has many names, descriptive of his different characteristics, but the Holy One, blessed be He, this is a holy, spiritual, enduring message that is holy in its own unique way. Said the Holy One, blessed be He, Lo Amarti Lecha Shchateinu. I never, ever told you to slaughter yourself. I never told you to kill yourself. Lo amarti lechashkate. Ela ha'aleu. I told you to dedicate him to me. Aleu, literally, bring him up. Says the Midrash, quoted by Rashi, asakte, you brought him up, ahate, bring him down. Lo amarti lechashkate. What the Midrash is saying is that God never changed his mind. God said the covenantal future was going to be through Isaac. And in fact, then God said to Abraham, dedicate your son to me. I want it to be an ultimate dedication. But what does Abraham immediately assume? What is the ultimate sanctification of God's name? What is the ultimate dedication to God? The ultimate dedication, Abraham believes, is death. Is taking a child and sacrificing the child to God. But as he walks to Moriah, he struggles. Is this the ultimate dedication? As a father, is this the right thing to do? When one bears in mind the ethics of Torah, is this the correct thing to do? He struggles, and at the last moment, either the malach is his inner consciousness, or the malach is the emissary of God, or it's God himself. Whatever it is, at the last moment, he recognizes that the ultimate sanctification of God is not dying for God, but it's living for God. Ultimate dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not dying for God, but it is rather living, living, living every moment for God. And here is an example of how through the struggle with what God said, it doesn't take Abraham to a lower level, it takes him to a higher level, because it allows him to appreciate and understand and finally recognize that what Torah is about is ubacharta b'chayim. Choose life. Remember years back, when I was teaching at Stern College, the first wedding I ever did was for a student, Penny Kenningsberg, who lived in Cincinnati, and she actually bought me a ticket to do the wedding. I was like, I'm going to spend the night in Cincinnati, Ohio. That is big time, big time. And I did my wedding, but then I was going to go out on the night, see what's going on in Cincinnati. Not much is going on in Cincinnati. The Reds weren't even playing there that night. And I'm sitting across from someone, and then we get up to dance. And in those days, now I like to dance, but I can't dance. Then, I was pretty good dance, I must tell you. I could dance. Not just the yeshiva moves. There was this one guy who was on fire. He could really dance. He was like flying. And I really took to him, and we sat down, and we spoke, and never... As it turns out, he says to me that he was a Jew all of his life, but now he's decided that he wants to become a Messianic Jew. He's a Jew for Jesus. Skavarim, as my bubby would say, finster in the argument. And there went my night. We were up for hours and hours. I'm proud to tell you that he now lives in Meir Shearim with about 10 kids. I'm not sure he died in my shul. I'm not exactly certain. God bless him. But I'll never forget something he said. Honey, don't you understand? I know Torah. Think about it. Jesus. He was able to reach a level that even Isaac and Abraham couldn't reach. And he drew a parallelism, which is, by the way, found in literature, between the Akedah and the crucifixion. Bound and so on. And then he turned to me and he said, but don't you get it? The reason why Abraham stops is he wasn't on that level. That's the old. But the new. The Christian man, God, can take it to the next level. He could die for the cause. He could die for God. He could die so that we'd be purged of our sins. And I guess jumped up and I hugged him and I said, that's precisely the point. And that's precisely the difference. That in fundamental Christianity, ultimate commitment and dedication comes through death. That's what it's about. It comes through dying. The message of the Akedah is it's the highest level. The highest level, again, is sanctification, not through death. It's sanctification through life. And so the Rambam in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah in the fifth chapter says, this is what Kiddush Hashem is about. So you would think he would lay out those times when we're supposed to die for the cause. That's not what he does. First, he mentions those times when we should make sure, even when demands are made of us, that we transgress the law. He lays out the many other times that we're not to transgress, because it's life that's so paramount. This, in fact, was the very point that the Rav makes in Isha Halacha. What the Rav writes in Isha Halacha is that for many other faith communities, the pathway or the ultimate world is not this world, it's the next world. In this world, we should live as ascetics. We should limit our physicality so that we can reap the benefits of the next world. Because what counts most is the transcendent world. The movement should be from this world to the other world. Yadut thinks it's different. The movement is not from this world to the next world. The movement is from that other world, from where at its base the Torah comes from. That's where the command came from God to apply it to this world. These are the words of Rabbi Soloveitchik. He says the following: the halakha is not at all concerned with a transcendent world. The world to come is a tranquil, quiet world that is wholly good, wholly everlasting, and wholly eternal, wherein a man or a woman will receive the reward for the commandments which he performed in this world. However, the receiving of a reward is not a religious act. This is really profound. Therefore, halachic man prefers the real world to a transcendent existence. Because here, in this world, man, woman is given the opportunity to create, act, accomplish, while there in the world to come, he is powerless to change anything. His Hebrew is, he wrote this in 1956. Ishalacha wrote earlier in the 40s. He writes, Ein halacha me'unyenet ba'olam transcendenti klal u'klal. That's not what halacha is about. They say that when the Gra, the Rav, writes, before he died, he was crying. They ask him why he's crying. He said, I won't be able to kiss my tzitzis. Others would say, I won't be able to light candles Friday night. And his language is very, very sharp language. His language is the world to come. Of course, it's a tranquil, holy, good world. We believe that, where we will receive reward. But the receiving of a reward, this is his key point, the receiving of a reward, ein kabbalat schar pula datit, the receiving of a reward is not a religious act. It pays to memorize that line. The receiving of a reward is not a religious act. Therefore, the halachic person prefers the real world, to the transcendent world, because here in this world, man is given the opportunity to create, act, accomplish, while there in that world, one is powerless to change anything. Final story. Believe me, Am Yisrael knows what it means to die for God. Believe me, Am Yisrael knows. But another midrash says that a father and a son could have been a mother and a daughter. A father and a son are walking through a forest, and they're walking and walking, and they're searching for the city. And the father turns And the son turns to the father and says, Abba, Abba, Eifo Hamadina, Father, Father, where's the state? Where's the city? And the father responds, Bini, Bini, Kishetire et betakvarot. When you see the cemetery, then you know you're on the outskirts of the city. There's no kibbutz. There's no city in Israel without a cemetery and without a military cemetery. And we're just 60, 70 years after the Shoah. And just 1,000 years in the interim of the Crusades and the Inquisitions. We understand, and our people understands, what it is to make a commitment to a cause and die for a cause. As Dr. Martin Luther King said, if there's nothing in this world that you're not ready to die for, then maybe you're not worthy of living. You've got to be ready to die for something. I'm not here to tell you that and to undermine the holiness of those who gave their lives. I remember during the Lebanon War, the Second Lebanon War, landing in Israel and being told that a soldier was killed and his funeral was going to be taking place in Ramana. The name of the soldier, Alav HaShalom, was Benji Hillman. Benji Hillman. He was a Brit. And I came to this Levaya. There must have been 5,000 people there. I had never met Benji. I'm sure most of the people hadn't met him, but he was my brother. Just like Gilad Shalit, we care about him because he's every Jew's son. He's every Jew's brother. He's every human being's of good conscience son and brother. Benji's my brother. He gave his life to defend Medinat Yisrael and Am Yisrael. And I would argue that he gave his life for the sake of freedom in this terrible, difficult battle against terrorism. And I'll never forget what the Rav said at his funeral. He had been married for 3 weeks. I was all the way in the back as a Kohen, just standing on a knoll. And the Rav was all the way up there, and Nebuch Benji's Almana was sitting on a chair, and the coffin was in front of him, and he broke out crying. And the last thing I am is a fundamentalist. But he said something so fundamentalist, and yet it's something that touched my heart and soul very deeply. I think about it always. He said the following. He said, I was under your chuppah. He turned to the kalah and turned to Benji's coffin. I was under your chuppah, and under the chuppah, I started to sing, Boi kala, boi kala. Come, my bride, come, my groom. And then he said, I have no doubts that when you come up to heaven, as you come up to heaven, the angels are greeting you, and they're saying, Boi chatan, boi kala, come, come, my bride, come. I've never been able to do this from my heart and soul, and as I tell you the story, I feel chills from my head to my toes. It's one of ours. When we lose one of ours, we've lost the world. Lost the world. It's a serious, 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 serious business. Our other daughter, Ilana, living in Israel, has blessed with 9 children, 7 boys, the youngest boy just born, the oldest going into the army. She said to me just a few weeks ago, she said, Abba, with Gilad going into the army, I'm going to be the mother of a soldier for the next 25 years. The next 25 years. I'll tell you something. I hear the Rav, and Benji made the greatest sacrifice, as many of our people have done over the years. But on this Rosh Hashanah, this Yom HaKippurim, this little morning, I want to offer the tefillah and ask that you join me. No more boi chatan and boi kalas up in heaven, people dying for God. I offer the tefillah that while that is so sacred in itself, I offer the tefillah, it's the tefillah of the ultimate Akedat Yitzchak. Lo amati b'chashchatei, asakte achate. I offer the tefillah of ha'idoti b'chem hayom. Et ha'shamayim v'et ha'aretz. Et ha'chayim v'et ha'mavet, God says. I place before you life and death. U'acharta l'chayim. Choose life. Bring life into this world. Energize life. Sustain life. Sanctify life. Kedushify life. That's the message, the ultimate message of Torah. The ultimate message of Torah, the ultimate message is that it's an Eitz Chayim HaMachazikim Ba. It's a tree of life for all those who hold it. Yafeh Hadarta Noam, V'chol Netivoteh HaShalom. May that be God's will. May we merit this Yom Kippur, all of you, our families, that this be a year of life and fulfillment and health and doing and fixing and redeeming Am Yisrael through which the larger world God will be redeemed. Shana Tova.
Thank you. The image of